It's sort of fitting that today, on your 51st anniversary, I feel anyways that you guys have called me to be your speaker. It's September 11th, 2016, and we're celebrating 15 years since, as your pastor shared with you this morning, since our nation was attacked. And I'll never forget that day. And part of the reason I'll never forget that day is because I was the pastor at Northview at that time. And so very emotional time as I look back over it, but very fitting, I feel, that today is the day that you've called me to speak for homecoming. And I want to reiterate again, I'm very thankful, I'm very honored for the privilege and the opportunity today. I do love this church dearly, speak fondly of it very often. And I want you to know that this church helped to form me, not only as a young Christian and a young man, but also as a pastor as well. And so I will forever be grateful, and I will forever refer to Northview as my home church, and it is good to be home today. I want to share with you a few thoughts today from the New Testament letter to the Ephesians. If you have a Bible and you'd like to turn there with me today, I'm going to look at a few verses, a couple of different passages very briefly this morning. And the first is going to come from the first chapter of Ephesians, and the second one is actually going to come from the very same passage that's on the front of your bulletin this morning, and that's Ephesians chapter 3. And I'll give you a moment to find that. I want to talk to you about a pastor's prayer for just a few moments. The Apostle Paul is, of course, writing this letter to the church at Ephesus, and this is a very dear church to him. And in these words that we're going to read in just a moment together, you really see his heart for the church. And so I want us to begin reading in verse number 15 of chapter 1 today and see what the Lord has to say to us today. The Apostle Paul writes, "For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation and the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come." And turn with me very briefly to chapter 3. We're going to look there beginning in verse number 14. Continuing on in his mode of prayer, the Apostle Paul says, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have all strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Before we study this together this morning, will you take a moment and let's just ask the Lord to speak to our hearts and minds today. Father, we thank you for your word. And I pray that in these next few moments that you will give us understanding. Lord, may this word be in us, and today may we not only be hearers of it, but I pray we would be doers as well. Let it be in us. Let it change us. Let it make an impact in our lives. This in the name of Christ we ask and pray these things. Amen. And amen. This paragraph of scripture that we've just looked at this morning contains one of Paul's two prayers to the Ephesian Christians. The second prayer that we read in chapter 3 is a prayer for strength for the church. But the first one, where we'll focus mostly this morning, is a prayer for them to have wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Let me ask you a question. Do you know of people who pray for you? I've been blessed throughout my life to have some people tell me that they're praying for me. One of them is my former pastor, and many of you guys, your former pastor as well, Pastor Frank Purvis. He tells me on a regular basis that he prays for me every day. And you know what? I believe him, and I know he's telling the truth. I know that there are others in my life, people within my family, people within my church family, who pray for me. They remember me when they go before the Lord in prayer. It's an incredible blessing to have your name called out in prayer. I've heard my name called out in prayer. What a powerful thing to know that my name has just sounded in heaven, and that someone is remembering me, or that someone is remembering you. It's a powerful thing to be prayed for. And here in these passages of Scripture that we've read this morning, the Apostle Paul is doing the same thing. He's praying for the church at Ephesus. He loved this church. If you don't believe that, you can go to Acts chapter 20 and you can read about it. He had a deep love and a deep connection with the people here at Ephesus. They meant a great deal to him, and his love for them stirred him to pray for that church. Prayer before us is a happy prayer. It's a positive prayer. And Paul is rejoicing at a number of things and asks for a couple of things in particular. This prayer is an expression of thanksgiving, an expression of praise. I'm reminded of John Wesley, who once wrote that thanksgiving is inseparable from true prayer. It's almost essentially connected with it, he said. You'll notice that the prayer here this morning begins with the words, "for this reason," or in other words, "therefore." And I've learned through my years as a pastor and as a Christian in general, when I see "therefore," to ask what it's there for. It's a transition word. It's a hinge word. It points back to something that has just been said that was important that the author wanted to drive home. And here, Paul is looking back with great gladness in his heart. He's thinking about the saving and delivering power of God, and he rejoices at the salvation that is present in the lives of the Christians at Ephesus. Paul does several things in this passage of Scripture. I want to share a couple of them with you this morning. The first thing that Paul does is he thanks God for the Ephesians' faith. He thanks God for their faith. Look with me at verse 15 of chapter 1 once again. He says, "For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord and your love toward all the saints." He's thanking them. He's thanking God for the faith that they have. And this involves two things. First of all, he was thanking God for a saving faith. He was aware of the saving faith that the Ephesian Christians possessed. And so he's praising God because everything that the church at Ephesus does is rooted and founded in the fact that they trust Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And this is what that "therefore" means. Thank you, Lord, that you've saved my brothers and sisters, that you've given them the gift of faith, that they know you as their Lord. He's looking back on the day that they turned to Christ. Do you ever do that? I encourage you to look back on that day when you met the Master. Look back on that day when you knew that you had a personal relationship with Christ. For some of you, maybe it happened in an altar. For some of you, perhaps it happened right here in this church. I can say in all honesty that I met my Lord and Savior as I was a young man at Northview. And I'm thankful for that. And I look back on that and I remember it. Thank God for the saving faith. And I thank God this morning for the saving faith that is in you today. But continuing on, Paul was also thanking God for their practical faith. A practical faith. What do I mean by that? Not only did they know Christ in their hearts, in their heads, in their minds, not only had they received a personal relationship, but they now had love for all the saints. Their faith transitioned into something. It made them do something. Faith is two-directional. There is a faith that reaches upwards to God. Lord, I need You. I need Your salvation. I need the hope that is only found in You. But then there's a different type of faith, and they go together. Don't misunderstand me. But there's a faith that reaches outward to man. And if you've reached upward to God, and you know Him in a saving way, then that salvation will cause you to reach out to those around you in a practical manner. That's what James was talking about in chapter 2 of his book, where he said, "So also faith by itself that does not have works is dead." But someone will say, "You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works." They go together. If you've reached upward to God, if He saved you, if you know Him as Lord, it will make you respond to the world around you. It will make you respond to your community, to those you work with, to those in your family. It will make you do something. Let me ask you this morning, do you have a saving faith? A faith that reaches upwards to God? In Acts chapter 4, it says there is salvation in no one else. It says that there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Have you experienced that in your own life? Do you have a saving faith? And you say, well, how do I know? Well, one of the ways that you can know is, do you have a practical faith? Have you been saved? Have you received His free gift of grace? And have you now begun to share that with those around you in a practical manner? Do you have love for your fellow man? Paul not only thanks God for the faith of the Ephesian Christians, but there's one other thing that he does, and I'll share it with you this morning. He requests something from the church. Now he makes a request of them. And the first thing that he requests, we find in verse number 17. He prays that they might know Christ. Look with me at that verse. "The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation and the knowledge of Him." This is not a prayer for salvation, brothers and sisters. It's a prayer that Paul prays that the Ephesian Christians may have a deeper knowledge, a deeper understanding, a deeper intimacy with Jesus Christ. I think oftentimes in our lives of faith, we're guilty of praying for people to come to Christ. But then we drop the ball there and we forget about the command to make disciples. And so we don't continue to pray for people to have that practical, maturing faith. And that second part is so very important. Pray for those younger in the faith. Pray for the immature ones in the faith, that they would go on to maturity, that they would grow up in the knowledge and the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's discipleship, that's sanctification. And Paul's burden was not only to lead men and women to Jesus, but his burden was to see them grow in that grace, to develop spiritual muscle and maturity. In Colossians chapter 1, he wrote, "Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present to everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me." Paul says, this is what I labor for, so that you will grow and you'll know him. Many people know about Christ. They know him as a historical person. They know that perhaps even he was God's son. Perhaps the idea behind Paul's language is that of an intimate knowledge, a fellowship, a closeness with someone. Husbands and wives, you know your spouse. You should know every detail, everything about them. You spend time with them. You grow with them through the ages. You know that person in an intimate way. So many times we don't grow up in our faith. We don't move on to that next level of spiritual maturity. And Paul is saying, look, I'm thankful for your saving faith. I'm thankful for your practical faith, but I want you to know Him greater. I want you to mature. I want you to grow. We pray for people to know Christ as Savior, but do we pray for that intimate relationship, that intimate fellowship? Another thing that the Apostle Paul asks. He prays that the Ephesians will see what Christ has done and what He offers to those who believe in Him. Look with me at verse 18. Having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which He has called you, what are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of His power toward us who believe according to the working of His great might. He wanted them to have hope. He wanted them to see what Christ had done, what the riches of their inheritance in Christ was. He wanted them to know the mighty power of God at work in their lives. I ask you today, do you know that? Do you know the mighty power of God? Have you experienced it in your own life? Are you growing in that grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? That's what Paul wanted for the church at Ephesus. And I say to you today, Northview, that's what I desire for you. That you would know Him, yes, in a practical and saving way, but that you would know Him more. A more intimate fellowship, a deeper relationship. Paul didn't want the flock here at Ephesus to lack anything. He prayed that they would know Christ greater, more. Are you praying that in your own life? Are you praying that for someone else? Before Jesus gave up His spirit on the cross, He took time to pray for those who were murdering Him, for those who had put Him on that cross. And it says in Luke chapter 23, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Jesus took the time to pray for someone else. Are you praying for someone in your own life? In an article called Do You Pray for the Lost, John MacArthur wrote these words, and I'm going to share them with you this morning. He wrote, do you have a heart to pray for the lost like Jesus did? Do you have the passion that inspired John Knox to plead, give me Scotland or I die? Is your attitude that of George Whitefield who prayed, oh Lord, give me souls or take my soul? Do you, like Henry Martin, mourn when you see others trapped in false religion and cry out, I cannot endure existence if Jesus is so dishonored? He goes on to write, God uses faithful men as powerful tools to bring salvation to dying people. Each of them had a clear and vivid understanding of what is at stake in the gospel. It's an issue of life or death, eternity in heaven or hell. Do you realize that your unbelieving family members, your co-workers, your neighbors will spend forever suffering in torment away from the presence of God if they do not embrace Christ? That realization should drive you to your knees to plead not only with them to believe the gospel, but with God to save their souls. Are you praying for someone? Are you encouraging someone in their journey of faith or to faith? And more than just praying for the lost today, are you praying for the saints? You praying for your brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus? Are you praying for those who attend church with you each Sunday? Are you praying for Northview Baptist Church? Thanking God for their saving and practical faith. I say to you this morning, brothers and sisters, I thank God for your saving and your practical faith that has inspired me in my journey of faith as a Christian, as a pastor today. Praying that others might truly know Christ in a greater way. I say to you this morning, brothers and sisters, that I'm thankful for those of you who have that deeper knowledge, that deeper fellowship and intimacy and relationship with Christ, and who inspired me in my own journey of faith. Praying that they will know the power of God in their lives. I say to you this morning that I've seen the power of God in some of you. And so my heart today for Northview is that the Apostle Paul shared for the church at Ephesus. Thank you for your faith. But don't stop there. Continue to go deeper in your relationship, in your fellowship, in your knowledge of who Christ is, of what God can do. And I close with these words from Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. I pray that there will be glory to God in this church. This is the Word of God. It is for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God for it. Father, we thank You today for this Word, and I pray that it will be in us, that it will make an impact in our lives, that it will be inside of us, that we will apply it to how we live, to what we do, to how we minister together as brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, I thank You today for those here at Northview who have a saving faith, and more than that, a practical faith, not only that reaches upwards to God, but reaches outward to man. And like Paul, I pray that they would go deeper, that they would have a deeper experience, that they would understand the mighty power of God and the inheritance that is theirs in Christ Jesus. And I know today we celebrate the 51st anniversary of this church. And Lord, I pray for 51 more and many more than that. Lord, give them the strength that they need to be a witness to this community, to reach out to those around them. But Father, help them to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, we trust You today that You will accomplish these good things in our lives. It's in the name of Jesus we ask and pray them. Amen and amen.
That was tremendous, tremendous word. Thank God for that precious word. You know, it's so refreshing to have a man like this in our community, a part of Northview, and will forever be a part of Northview, that stands and proclaims the word. That's what we need today. I'm so refreshed and excited about, as he was referring to how Paul felt. And I love him bringing the word out like he did this morning. And may God fill us with passion for that saving faith that we have. Because if it weren't for him, where would we be today? Thank you for that beautiful word, that beautiful song. My heart's been lifted, and I know yours has too. Thank God for his word that never changes. And he's a God that continues to grow in us and love us. We're going to take a few minutes, and if anyone here that has to go prepare the food, we certainly want you to do so. I think some of the ladies have already stepped out to do that. But we do invite each and every one of you to stay with us. We're going to have a meal in the fellowship hall, and I was out there earlier, and there's all kind of food, so you feel free to stay with us and be a part of it. We want to go ahead and say the blessing in here, and that way when you get out there, there's a lot of talking, stuff like that going on, you can just go ahead and enjoy your meal. Would you stand to your feet, please? Wesley, I'm asking you, if you don't mind, go stand at the door so that we can get that. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Heavenly Father, we're so thankful today for this beautiful word that we've heard today, the encouragement that we have that your word is a saving faith. Lord, we can call on your name, and no matter where we're at or what we're going through, you're there to hear us and to help us. Thank you for this precious man of God that has come and shared his heart. Thank you for his family. We thank you, Lord, for the ministry that you have blessed him with, and we certainly know that it's going to increase and it's going to grow, and great things are going to happen through his life. Thank you, Lord. He's our friend, and we've had the privilege of crossing paths. We thank you for the word that's in him and the word that he articulates to everyone that's around. We ask you, Lord, that word be manifold and blessed. Thank you, God, for this opportunity we have in the 51st time together at homecoming. We ask you to bless this food, the hands that have prepared the food and put everything together, because you, God, make it all possible. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. God bless you.